It's an election year. Just send the nuke and finish us off already. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
Nation's public health infrastructure to ensure that we have the capacity to stay in the containment mode. Those of you who heard me talk before, I've told you that in January and February, up to February 27, 28, this nation had 14 cases. We were in the containment mode. And then, unfortunately, the virus overwhelmed where we got into extreme mitigation. We are building that public health capacity now to make sure that we stay in the containment mode for the upcoming fall and winter season, so we will not need to resort to the kind of mitigation that we had to this spring. By the American public's continued cooperation, obviously in the areas of personal hygiene and the types of social distancing strategies that just a minute ago, that the issue that I was talking about being more difficult, is that we're going to have two viruses circulating at the same time. This spring that we just went through, February, we had a benefit of having the flu season ended. So we could use all our flu surveillance systems to say, whoops, this is coronavirus. We need to focus. Next fall and winter, we are going to have two viruses circulating. And we're going to have to distinguish between which is flu and which is the coronavirus. And so the comment that I made, it's more difficult. Doesn't mean it's going to be more impossible. Doesn't mean it's going to be more...
Welcome, Kate Daly Show. In fact, he goes on, basically, it's a long clip, but he goes on just to talk about the fact that they can't discern the difference. You know why? Because it's basically the same thing. Which is, you know what? Let's just talk the truth here. That's our scary truth, is that this is coming in the fall. They've been counting everything since February 9th as COVID. He said that the flu season, that was Redfield from the CDC, he said that the flu season ended miraculously on February 9th. I guess, and then everything since then has been marked COVID. But man, they're going to have two circulating in the fall, and how will they tell the difference? You know, we're being primed and set up for an insane fall and a possible another lockdown as well. So I welcome you to the show, of course, and I welcome Uncle Milty. How are you? Welcome
good,
to the Kate
thanks.
Daly Show. Good. I'm glad to hear it. And of course, we just lost Dr. Duke Festa, who is Skyping into the show. But guess what? We're calling him right back right now. We're going to get him back on. And we have so much to talk about with Dr. Pesta. I cannot wait to have this conversation. In fact, Dr. Pesta, let's see if he's there. Dr. Pesta, are you with us?
I am.
Oh, excellent. Okay. I'm so happy to hear that. Dr. Pesta is joining us from the Dr. Duke Show. That show actually plays on the Kate Daly Show page. You can catch it there. It plays a lot of different places, but you can also catch it on my Facebook page, The Kate Daly Show, right after this show. And I welcome Dr. Duke Pesta. Man, we have a lot to talk about. We have left hypocrisy and violence and Chicago here. We're live in Illinois. Chicago violence went way up. It's been insane to watch the numbers go up, even in Portland, as they tried to cut budgets with the police. The numbers have gone for violent attacks have gone way up. It's kind of insane.
Is it me, guys, or do you feel something swinging back the other way?
Yeah,
have we reached the point? I mean, I've been on the show every week, and I know about a month ago I was a little bit skeptical about where we were heading, mm-hmm. but I'm starting to feel the momentum pull back.
Yeah.
Back in the direction of Donald Trump, back in the direction. The media has demonstrated that they cannot completely hide from the American people
mm-hmm.
just how every from every angle the Democrat. You may not like Donald Trump. You may not agree with him. You may find some of his behavior to be boorish. You may not agree with his policies. But there's no doubt that he is not guilty of all the things that they said was going to happen. They were going to that were going to happen in 2016. Mm-hmm. You remember when they said that we'd be in multiple world wars, that
yes.
we would, the economy would be crashing.
Yes.
That none of it happened. None of it happened until COVID. And now we've seen for a while there. I understand why people blamed Trump,
mm-hmm.
even though there's not much a president can do one way or the other to fix this kind of thing. But if you look at what's happening now, it does seem to me as if opinion is beginning to swing back. Whatever you think of Donald Trump, the utter ineptness, the utter vileness of the Democrat Party, the shocking the shockingly calculated every move is politics with the Democrats. Like, Trump wants to pass reform, get more hands, money in the hands of people. They're not doing it. The Democrats say no. They're quibbling over little bits of amount of money because they think it's the best way to hang Trump. I think people are really beginning to see through that.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. But even more so is people are just sick and tired of their nonsense. And they keep making huge mistakes in what they're doing, because I know from talking to a lot of people this weekend, there are many people that are saying there's no way I'll vote for Biden if he refuses to do the debates. And that's their big mantra right now. Oh, it's not fair for him to have to debate the president. The president's just a liar.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, yeah, and of course, the New York Times comes out now and throws their weight behind no debate, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, we don't want, and that just tells you something. If they thought for one second that Biden was mentally capable of even holding his own on a debate stage, they'd have already scheduled three of them.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. You talked about the pendulum swinging back. And, you know, number one trending right now is the story about the data that isn't just being collected from your phone. It's being used to score you. People are starting to realize that a lot of these liberals that love government, they love government intrusion, they love government surveillance, they love government programs, they want more and more government. They realize that leftists love socialism, love the government, and are introducing a lot of these things and backing them. And so for all of those people that are so hardcore about Trump, it's interesting that, and I was talking to Joel Skousen about this on Friday, you know, it's keeping some of these things at bay. And these, the leftists, the Bidenites, all of these people that are intent on turning this into a communist country will do it on the fast track. And people are starting to see that. You're seeing more and more people come out and start to look around and go, wow, we really are in a world of hurt right now. This is not good for America. And that's it. That is really positive to see.
Well,
I'm liking
and how
that.
Do people how do people not look around and see how all the big city Democrat mayors have literally stabbed the police in the back?
Yeah,
they have allowed rogue elements to just burn and loot and pillage and kill people. And whenever they're called to account, or whenever Donald Trump tries to intervene with the feds, they literally side with the chaos. They don't. They would rather have burnt down buildings than have Donald Trump get credit for doing what the mayors couldn't do, which is to stop the violence. And so I think people see that. The other thing that really blows me away, I cannot think of another election in my lifetime where there have been so many African Americans on all different levels challenging the progressive narrative. Mm-hmm. I have never seen it. I mean, you can't watch any all over the news, all over the websites, all over the cable news. There are just black African Americans standing up and pushing back against Biden. I have never seen this kind of open rebellion, let's just say, from rank and file African American Democrats about the left-wing narratives that they're trying to be hit with.
Mm-hmm. I think what's happened is that they actually have begun to believe their own BS. and they have lost track of the fact that they really are a minority right now. I believe that 100%. They're a minority. They don't have a chance right now.
Well,
the president has 40% of their vote, the black vote.
I'd be stunned if it was any lower than 25%. And the thing that gets me is that the progressive left lives in a bubble.
Yep.
They live in a bubble where the only feedback they ever get is from their own liberal media,
exactly.
Right? They don't venture out of that bubble. They don't listen to talk radio. They don't dare to interact with, they rub elbows with politicians and Hollywood stars. They don't know what the average mother living in a suburb of Minneapolis thinks about how she's not able to walk her kids down the street. They're not in touch with those people. Those are the people who aren't going to answer the phones, who aren't going to get on the phone and tell a pollster who they're going to vote for because they don't want to be doxxed. And the fact that so many Americans will not talk to pollsters because they're fearful that the media will betray them. That tells you something right there.
Mm-hmm. So true. That is so true.
And the progressives refuse to see that.
Yeah.
They really refuse to just see it.
Well, here's a point, too, is, you know, we've seen some problems with the police over the years. Then defund them federally. defund them federally and get back to local police departments, because I would never say defund the police. When somebody has an incident, you call 911, you're hoping somebody's going to show up. The whole defund movement, it's very interesting to watch what's going on in Portland right now as a showcase for the rest of the nation. You don't want to see it completely unfunded. And these movements by the Black Lives Matters, I mean, obviously they're using that movement because really what they're behind is getting rid of capitalism at the end of their road. But people don't want to see that. But if you want to say defund federally, then I'm all for that and keep it local, keep it state and local. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I think you've hit on the biggest mistake they've made is betraying the police. I mean, when was the last time you had nationwide police forces stand so unified behind a Republican president? Mm-hmm. I promise you, if it hadn't been for even with COVID, if COVID existed but there were no riots, I bet you most police forces would have sided with Biden. I really do. Just because of the union ties. But right. Now you've got almost every major police force in this country militantly behind Donald Trump. That there are a lot more police officers and police officers' wives and sisters and brothers than there are BLM and Antifa people in this country. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, so true. And BLM is a small terrorist organization,
yes,
bought and paid for. And when people see that their road is actually about undermining capitalism and undermining the country to the tune of total treason, really, it's undermining every value we have.
How many black voices have you actually heard over the last few weeks defending the police? I found them everywhere. I mean, you've got inner city people saying, you guys are crazy. They're pushing back. It's our communities that are going to suffer most without cops, not the white suburban ones. It's our neighborhoods. And they're exactly, Charles Barkley called out the NBA, right? You're getting this now in ways that you never would have. And Milty, you pointed this out earlier. They're no longer interested in trying to pretend for the blue and white, for the blue collar worker in this country. Mm-mm. They're not even trying to pretend that they're on their side anymore. Nope. They are willfully contemptuous of the common working man.
Yeah, so true. We're going to come right back. I want to talk about two different people in sports that are coming out. I'm talking about, number one, the new helmets, which are a total joke. And then number two, the COVID helmets is what I'm talking about. And then the guy that stood, and sports is being transformed. And I want to talk about that, too, because as people we're really looking forward to sports in the fall, I don't think we're going to get normal sports at all. And I think we're in for a world of hurt when it comes to if people are really, really looking forward to it. It ain't happening. Not the way you think. We'll be right back on that as well. What's going on with schools? All kinds of things with Dr. Duke Pesta from the Dr. Duke Show. So happy to have him on board today. Be right back.
Balance of Nature, changing the world one life at a time.
I've been on this Balance of Nature for quite some time now. I know that what you put in your body is critical to your health. I listen to AM radio out of Dallas, and you have these people on there witnessing about the difference it's made in their life. Now, all these people aren't lying about this. I hadn't even had as much as a cold since I've been taking this, and I'm telling you, my energy level has increased unbelievable. So I'm impressed with it.
Experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 800-246-8751. That's 800-246-8751. Or by going to balanceofnature.com and make sure to receive this special radio offer by using discount code KATE.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
I came here tonight. I got the feeling that something ain't right. I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
Hi there, welcome. come back. Yes, we're living in an insane world. And if things aren't sitting right with you, there's a reason for that. Welcome back to the Kate Daly Show, where we just tell the truth. We are not bought and sold media. We just actually talk about what we care to talk about on a daily basis and out the truth. And there's very few shows like us. Dr. Duke Pesta has a show unlike anybody else, and he comes on the show every Monday. I really appreciate him. I've got Uncle Milty here, and we're talking about the things that are truthful in the media. And let me just tell you, when Fauci came out and said goggles, when Burks, Miss Scarf Lady, came out, and these are both bought and sold Bill Gates individuals, by the way. They've been working on the AIDS vaccines for umpteen years with over $1 trillion being given to them for failed vaccines. Both of them have a history of giving failed projections. And Burks came out and said we should all be wearing masks at home with our family members. I don't even, do I even quantify this? But they're lunatics, but guess what, folks? Even the hardcore liberals are starting to realize how lunatic they actually are, because they keep stepping over their own narrative to deliver even more narrative, and people are finally seeing the difference. Thoughts on that, Dr. Pesta?
I think there was a lot of respect, more respect for Fauci and Bricks than there ever was for Trump, actually.
Uh-huh.
They had much higher profiles, and I think a couple of things have happened. One, Fauci at that ridiculous baseball game, when you really got a sense that we're telling you things that we don't do ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
When Fauci was there sitting in the stands yucking it up without a mask on, I think that resonated with a lot of people. The other thing that really resonated with a lot of people was when all those other doctors who made those videos trying to warn the American public that this virus is not as bad as you're being told, when they were censored, Fauci's response was, these are just a bunch of people who were out telling lies.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't even get them credit for being working doctors and nurses. He didn't even give them credit for being scientists. He didn't give them credit for having dealt with patients in the last 10 years, something he never has done. He simply wrote them off. And I think people see that kind of stuff, and it's just tiresome. The other thing that's really big with this too, all of this, another place where the Democrats really screwed up, that you can't go to church, you can't open your bar, you can't open your business, but if you want to stand on the street corner throwing rocks and bricks and swearing at cops, we'll let you do that. That double standard, I think, if anything hangs the Democrats in the fall, it's going to be that double standard.
Yeah, like Jeff Jordan even said to him, you know, to Fauci, explain why riots are okay and Fauci couldn't do it. Go ahead.
Well, another big mistake they made. They don't let an average person have a funeral for their dead parents.
But you can go to John Lewis.
But you can go to John Lewis's three funerals with 400 people at each one.
Yes, and no quarantine afterwards. Yeah. I mean, honestly, I guess if you're a fan of John Lewis, you're not subject to COVID like the rest of us are. And also, you get to listen to Barack Obama talk about mail-in voting at the funeral and use it for the political landscape, which was...
People are tired of it.
How about what Alveda King did? Alveda King came out and condemned Obama for turning Lewis's funeral into a campaign moment and said that the left will stop at nothing. You know what this reminds me of?
What?
How many years ago was this back in Minnesota when you had that funeral, remember? You had that funeral. I don't even remember who the politician was. They had that funeral in Minneapolis, and a bunch of Democrats turned for one of the local congressmen there, and they turned it into a political campaign. And that was the moment, too, that the American people, this was a 10 or 12 years ago, but there was a prominent congressman in Minneapolis died, and they turned his funeral into a campaign, anti-Republican campaign parade, and it really cost the Democrats votes.
Well, I have a feeling this will too, and we need to talk about sports too, because some interesting things happened in sports. They're now calling the NFL the No Freedom League. Now, I do believe the players do have some freedom, and it's nice to see when some players will stand up against the grain. Cleveland, we talked about last week, all standing during certain parts of the intro. Why we are in the political sports landscape now is very sickening to me, because a lot of people that love sports do not want politics in their sports, but we're getting all politics in our sports, aren't we? Kind of amazing.
We are. And before I jump in here, I just did a quick search. It was driving me crazy. Remember Paul Wellstone? Remember his funeral?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's the one that they turned into a political rally and people got turned off with it.
Yeah.
And I think it's the same thing with professional sports, too.
Right.
This is another major miscalculation. The bubble that the progressives live in believe that everybody else sees things through the lens of politics first, right? The left right. does it, the BLM people, the academics, they see everything through the lens of politics. But the average working person, man and woman, when they turn on the NFL, they want to watch a game. They mm-hmm. don't care about politics. And that goes for the Republicans either. I mean, nobody wants to turn on a football game and see it become a running commentary on conservative policies. Yep. You watch football games because you want to be entertained. You want to forget all.
It's a refuge.
It used to be one of the few corners left in American life, which was free of politics. Now it's the most woke, almost the most woke sector of our entertainment landscape, and that has been done or consciously been hijacked by radical progressives. Because how dare we enjoy sports without turning sports into yet another way to advocate for left-wing policies? Yeah. That is a real backfire for them.
Oh yeah, and amen for Jonathan Isaac. By the way, he had a torn ACL, but he stood for the national anthem. And like I've said on the show before, America offers the invitation to stand or not stand, which is what's beautiful about America, right? So it's not as if I want everybody forced to stand, but they're all kneeling for what I consider the very wrong reason and introducing politics into the national anthem. The national anthem is something that you stand for out of respect for the country, and the country was founded on correct principles, and we stand for that. That's what I stand for. Jonathan Isaac, Magic's Jonathan Isaac, stood up and said, I actually love Jesus Christ, and so I'm standing because of that. I'm standing to honor this country for true and correct principles or whatever he had said. He talked about Christianity. And it's just really pathetic how many people came down on him for that. Yet they'll applaud all these punks mm-hmm. sitting there making all of their gazillion dollars and then kneeling in what? For oppression? I don't even know what they're kneeling for anymore. Uncle Milton?
You know, and that's another problem they have. They're mm-hmm. so quick right. to turn and gobble up their own.
That's so true.
It's noticeable. People yeah. say, wait a minute, if I'm one of them and mm-hmm. I do something they don't like, what are they going to do to me?
Right.
Yeah, and you've got liberal New York Times writers resigning and condemning the paper for its echo chamber. And so when you've got people like Bill Maher, who's mm-hmm. one of the most annoying progressives yep. out there, saying we've got to fight back against this cancel culture, it tells you. I mean, there are a lot of people who've been ensnared in this who aren't just Republican rubes. Ask yourself this question. You see how utterly reckless the progressive left is right now of trashing every single aspect mm-hmm. of our history and our culture. What do you think happens when you hand the keys to Joe Biden?
Do you think
there's any reverse on the Democrat clown car? No.
No.
That Mm-mm. if it's going off the cliff at 50 miles an hour now, they're just going to hit the accelerator.
Yep.
And you look at the people, so you're going to put AOC in a important leadership position. You're going to look at the list of, it's almost racist, the list of the four or five African-American women. This is who he has to choose from, right? This is your pressure. I can't name one of them that's going to help his cause mm-hmm. with normal Americans.
Right.
I mean, he's already got the woke vote, right? Does mm-hmm. it matter? In fact, anybody he chooses is going to alienate other woke people.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And it's not almost racist. It is racist.
It is racist.
Right.
And so the bottom line is that the people who care who you choose are the people who are already voting for you. You can't win any more of them. You're not going to get one more vote by picking any one of those African-American women nobody's ever heard of. You're not going to win one more vote from a middle-of-the-road person. Yeah. All those people are already voting for you, Joe Biden.
Mm-hmm.
But once you pick one, this is why they keep delaying it. Once you pick one, you're going to have to spend a couple months going through that person's baggage. I don't care if it's Kamala Harris with her baggage. They've all got Valerie Jarrett. My God, every one of those women, it's worse to worse to worse in some of the ridiculously Marxist communist things they've said mm-hmm. to the contradictions in their own personal lives. You've got to pick a black female to satisfy the local university professor in your community. And meanwhile, the minute you pick her, it's going to be two full months of campaign ads running on how unprepared and how complicated her own history is.
Yeah. She also said they deserve respect. Really? Really? I mean, where is that? How do they deserve respect?
You know, on the break, Dr. Pesta, you mentioned something that shows just how out of touch they are. A liberal animal rights group has offered a $5,000 reward to find out who put a Trump sticker on a bear's collar. And they're so out of touch that it never occurs to them that maybe the bear's a Trump fan and did it himself.
Well, that's the irony of this, right? I mean, it's a tiny little sticker that obviously this is in a game preserve somewhere or in some kind of a controlled environment. They tag these bears with collars so they can monitor them, and they re-caught one, and they happened to look, and some radical left-wing games warden saw a Trump sticker on the car, and now they're freaking out about this. Rather than have a laugh about it, rather than turn it into a joke along the lines of, well, boy, I mean, when the bear is something animalistic, right, about Trump, Trump's in such bad state, the only vote he can count on is and make a big laugh about it, show that you're human. No, they get a $5,000 reward out there. Hell, if I can find a bear that won't eat me, I'll put a sticker on its collar and collect the $5,000. I mean, they act like you've done something. It's like you've raped the bear or something by daring to have a Trump sticker on its collar.
It's funny what they get so offended by or alarmed by.
It's crazy.
You can always tell it's such an emotional response, an emotional comment, an emotional factoid. I say in air quotes because they're not really facts. It's just emotional. Everything's emotional. I did want to say, though, that because we alluded to this when we came in, the Louisiana State University linebacker Sony Fanua said that he has to wear a new face shield for COVID. Mind you, these people are outside playing ball, okay?
And Louisiana.
Yeah, in Louisiana, in the fresh outdoor air, okay? And he said, this is like breathing in a Ziploc bag, this new breathing harness they have on their face. I can't even imagine where this is going, but this shows the lunacy of how we're taking this whole COVID narrative, this very liberal narrative, mind you.
One of these athletes is going to have a heart attack because of that.
Yep. They said it's
They'll blame the cause of death on?
COVID.
Yep.
I mean, it's kind of amazing that they are going this far to appease this COVID narrative, to appease the Fauci, the Burks, the all of these bought and sold Bill Gateites who honestly are stepping over themselves in idiocy and being totally ludicrous. We all have an immune system. I hate to remind everybody, but we all have this immune system. This is why we all didn't get the flu nationwide, 331 million Americans. This is why we all didn't get AIDS. This is why we all didn't get every said disease or virus or anything that comes along, is we have an immune system that works. And the NFL has an immune system too. They are going to make it so insane that people are going to want anything they can do to get their sports back, to get the people, to get our schools back, right, is what they say. And I do want to talk about that when we come back, because we're on this roller coaster ride of liberalism that's taking us into insane heights on lunacy. Mm-hmm. And we're going to say we just want our normal back. I don't think our normal's coming back, not the way we think, but I do want to talk about what it's doing to schools and across the country, what it's doing too, because look at what it's doing to our sports. This is getting insane. People are not going to get their sports seasons this year the way they thought. We're going to get those placards or those cardboard cutouts all season long because of the lunacy there. Be right back. Maybe they should have the violent protesters show up. That would be a crowd, you know, that doesn't get COVID. Be right back on The Kate Daly Show.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is The Kate Daly Show.
Hi there. Welcome back to The Kate Daly Show. And I'm so glad that you're listening in. Of course, go to balanceofnature.com and get the supplement. This is the one I'm always talking about. Fruits and vegetables, 31 of them. This is the supplement I did my homework on. And I'm so grateful they're a sponsor of the show because this was the one that had it all. And Balance of Nature, it's just so many things about it are so right on the money that you can't avoid looking at Balance of Nature because Balance of Nature has it all. You get the drink too, which is full of vitamins and minerals and turmeric and all of this, the things that can balance your blood sugar. You take this on a daily basis. In a couple of weeks, you're going to start to see big changes in your immune system, how much better you feel, how much better you sleep, your skin, your hair, everything. And then, of course, what it's doing on the inside, too. And that is increasing your immunity. This is what you need to have in your system and in your arsenal for the fall as well. Order extra. It's affordable. You can get 35% off right now, 35% off and free shipping by just putting in the code of my first name, K-A-T-E, The Kate Daly Show, but you can just put in Kate and make sure that you are getting the supplement. You can actually try it out, and it's money back guaranteed. You're going to love it. It's balanceofnature.com, and all the testimonials, yes, they are real. In fact, they come in at such a high volume that they actually change them out all the time because new testimonials are flooding their office about how good people feel on this and how they've been able to kick some medications to the curb. Don't be so dependent on pharmaceuticals. Get on balanceofnature.com. Dr. Pesta, we got to talk about schools too, because as this political narrative is permeating our sports world, and disgustingly so, people are tuning off. And by the way, before we get into schools, I just wanted to mention the hypocrisy is and the lunacy behind the kneeling and the Black Lives Matters and the COVID masks and the pictures of fans and the creepy soundtracks of people clapping. I swear to you, I feel like I'm living in an insane world, and I know people out there are feeling the same. My husband turned it off. He couldn't even watch it because we were laughing so hard at the cardboard cutouts for baseball.
That was pathetic. And the other thing that really gets people is the fact that, you know, they might have had some legitimacy if they protested as hard against what China's doing as they protested against what the what America's doing. But when you talk out of both sides of your mouth, when you condemn America for every little niggling fault, and then yet you will not say anything about the communist Chinese who are torturing and murdering people for reasons that are much more pronounced and culturally deep than what's happening in this culture, it rings hollow. When you got little kids in Chinese sweatshops making tennis shoes for billionaires, and the billionaires can't be bothered to mention the suffering of those little kids, but they'll turn around and applaud the taking down the statue of George Washington, you've got a real credibility problem.
Yeah.
Speaking of
good
credibility
point.
Problems, you know, we pick on the progressives a lot, but we have to watch the Republicans, too.
Mm-hmm.
When Gohmert announced last week that he tested positive, Representative Mike Johnson, a Republican from Louisiana, said he's going to self-quarantine for 14 days. He's a congressman. They can have his test the next day. He doesn't need to quarantine.
Yeah.
They just want people to see that.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It's true.
Well, and the Republicans are the go-along-to-get-along party, right? They don't...
Yep.
You don't see them doing a lot of standing up to these ridiculous fiats that have no legal standing from governors and from federal agents.
Mm-hmm. And so I do want to talk about schools, too, because right now the latest poll, you know, I feel about polls, but the latest survey will say on this one, 4 in 5 parents are thinking about homeschooling their school age kids this fall. It's seriously backfiring on them because they don't know which narrative to follow anymore. As far as the teachers associations, the school boards is what I'm talking about. You know, we're in such dire straits that even one of the breaches of one of the 6 ways in which we sanitize ourselves now and keep ourselves away from each other and all the nonsense that we've been talking about. If one of those is breached, somebody's going to die. Is that the narrative? Because then why are people even sending their kids to school? Yet they're out there going, no, our kids have to go to school. Our kids have to go to school. They don't even know what to say anymore because it's all so contradictory.
Well, and it's the gall. I think we mentioned this earlier in the show. What does a broken American public school system do when it has further failed parents? This was the biggest, most public failure. We expect the public schools to be inefficient. We expect them to be needlessly expensive. We expect a lot of stupid politics in the classroom. Mm-hmm. But when push came to shove, they were not able to educate the kids outside of the framework of the public school system. They failed miserably they didn't even look like they tried very hard to educate our kids once the COVID hit. And ever since COVID hit, all these public schools have been doing is giving you 8 reasons from Sunday why they shouldn't have to go back again. We didn't want to teach your kids. We don't want to teach your kids. We don't want to go back and teach your kids. We don't want this to start over again. I mean, and so the hypocrisy is moved from that. We don't want to teach your kids to we'll teach your kids in Los Angeles, the teachers union. We'll teach your kids, but the cops have to be defunded first in Los Angeles. In North Carolina last week, the union said, we'll teach your kids, but only if the state of North Carolina turns over tens of millions of dollars for illegal immigrants in our state. Then you've got what's happening today with that union I mentioned, the one national union that said, we'll come back and teach, but only if you defund cops and you completely stop funding any competition to the public schools. No money to charter schools, no money to voucher schools, no money to private schools, unless you cut off all other forms of education, you know, the ones that are working, we're not going back to work. That's a pretty bold strategy, Cotton, right? We failed at our job. And so our response is, we're not coming back to work until you fire the competition. That's not a winning strategy.
Interesting. No.
There's still a bigger problem in this, though. 80% of parents are worried about sending their kids back to school for health reasons.
Yeah.
There is no health reason to stop them, and they're still not getting that through their head.
Right. Well, that tells you how powerful the media is, though, in hyping this up. If you described the way we describe COVID on a daily basis, if you said everybody has diabetes, everybody is falling falling into the diabetes framework, then people would think that that was the biggest health scare of the century. Mm-hmm. It's all in how they report it. And so the media has people so wound up that their kids are going to die. It's just funny. It's just kind of interesting that people don't want to send them back because of the health risk. And this is why I say it's backfiring on them, because the deep state would love to have the kids in school. They want the propaganda on 8 hours a day shoved into the faces of these kids, and also Common Core. The Bill Gates of the universe, the Common Core, everything that's evolved from Common Core, this is what they truly want for the kids. But their own narrative is in the way, because now the parents are going, well, we're too afraid.
Yep.
We're too afraid to send our kids back to school, which could actually be their biggest blessing.
Well, and that's where the public schools come in.
Yes.
And they can't suddenly welcome the schools back, kids back, because that goes against the mandate, right?
Yeah.
Of Fauci.
Yeah.
So what they're telling the rest of the country is, shame on you moms and dads for not sticking with us anyway. You should be loyal to us. Mm-hmm. And telling the government, stop funding any form of education except ours. We're not going to teach, but we don't want them to teach either.
Yeah. So it's kind of been interesting to watch, because I want to say, people, stop being so stupid. This is a cold virus. It's not a 1500s plague. On the same note, though, if that is what's taking kids out of public school, great, because maybe we'll see some changes in public school. I don't think so. But hey, it'll send a pretty big message if kids aren't coming back in the fall, right? And we have to fight what came out of and was the springboard of Common Core. So we've got a horrible education. On top of it, we're turning kids into liberals. And on top of it, we've got this whole COVID narrative. It's kind of hysterical the way that it's changed right now, in people going, well, not so fast. I might not return. Go ahead, Michael Milty.
These paradoxes are just unbelievable.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I would go one step further, too. And what are they doing? What are the school systems planning for when your kids finally do return, however many years from now it will be? Well, hey, in 2024, when we finally open the schools, we'll have the 2019 curriculum for you. Hey, look at what we're working on. You send your kids back to school in 2026, we'll finally have that new LGBTQ curriculum ready for them kids. Hey, send them back in 2030. We'll be ready to go with all Black Lives Matter all the time. That's what we're working on.
The 1619, baby. The fake American history. And it's all roaring to go. And, of course, all of the new sex talk. So from kindergarten on, they get the maturation speech, and they also get the LGBT masturbation speeches from kindergarten on. Beautiful. So I'm actually loving that people are rethinking it. They're rethinking it for the wrong reasons, but they're still rethinking it. So then, of course, we have like school bus drivers. Uncle Milty and I were discussing this earlier. School bus drivers, they're saying, are all weak and vulnerable, and now kids have to have plexiglass in school buses, and all the school bus drivers are going to die. They didn't die before in history in all those previous decades of the flu. They didn't catch all the time, or all these people didn't catch all these diseases all the time. But now, of course, with COVID, it's totally different, right? And so this is the narrative they're trying to sell now, is that the teachers are, even though I have it on tape, teachers, there's not been one case in the entire country. In fact, here it is. I'll play the clip for you. This came from the frontline doctors. Here you go.
Kids are being are tolerating it very well. They're not passing
it on to their parents.
They're not passing it on to their teachers. Dr. Mark Woolhouse from Scotland, who is a pediatric infectious disease specialist and epidemiologist, said the following. He said there has not been one documented case of COVID being transferred from a student to a teacher
in the world. Not one case of a student transferring COVID to a teacher in the world, yet look at what they're doing. But doesn't it just go to show you, Dr. Pesta and Uncle Milty, they are willing to step over their narrative so many times over that they wind up in complete lunatic behavior because of what they want to instill, what they want to do. And of course, it's going to come back with COVID tracing. They want those kids to come to school so then they can go back and quarantine all the people that kid has been around, including families, whether they're sick or not, for 14 days. I mean, it's insane what they want to do this fall.
I say we just shrink wrap our kids before we send them out of the house. Get one of those machines, okay? You see it? Where you put a big plastic bag around them and then you take your hot air dryer and you just sort of get rid of all the wrinkles and send them out that way.
It's the new Bubble Boy movie, but it's just with everybody now. Go ahead. Uncle
Well, you know, the situation is so, there are such simple solutions to all of the problems they bring up, like bus drivers.
Yeah.
Just put them in scuba gear.
You know, we were talking earlier on the break, and I want to hit this real fast, but here's McConnell telling us that Trump is not hitting the script often enough. Here you go. He actually uses this phrase. Here we go. 20 seconds.
Another thing I'd like to see him do is get on script. And I think there's a certain threshold of credibility that needs to be met. I was
credibility.
With him in the green room when he went to the NRA convention in Louisville a couple of weeks ago. And I said, hey, Donald, have you got a script? Pulled it out of his pocket. I said, are you going to use it? He said, I hate the script. It's boring. I said, put me down in favor of boring.
Yep, that would be McConnell.
That's
and,
him.
And so you
I
get
think
to...
that's the only shift he has, only gear he has in his motor is boring.
Yeah, and so we have these establishment Republicans, we have the far left progressive liberals, we have the insane Democrats who love government. We've got all these people out there who desperately want him to stay on script. And what we need is the fire back in Donald Trump. We need him to be talking about COVID. He did out hydroxychloroquine. They did not want that. They did not want him to out such a simple solution or remedy for those that have the most dire examples of COVID, because 99.8% of us are just fine. Mm-hmm. But for that very 0.02%. But what's crazy is how much of the script he did not stay on. And right now, it seems like he's just at a weird point. I don't know why he isn't speaking out more, but he has tried. He did try from the beginning to say this is nothing.
Well, he derives his fire from crowds, and he's not allowed to see crowds. Mm-hmm. That's the best thing that happened to the Democrats is that it's not that Biden hides in his basement. It's the fact that Donald Trump is not able to connect with his base. And for my two cents, Donald Trump needs to burn the script and pee on it in front of a big, big, large audience, and we'll be back to normal. Let's get rolling.
Yeah, because otherwise he's going to lose everyone in his base if he just keeps going with this narrative and the vaccine narrative and everything else, because that is what's coming next. And I fear that moment when everybody adopts just like they did the mask, and I didn't think people would do that. But if you don't have this vaccine, you cannot enter the premises of a business or school or anything or fly or anything in America. I mean, we are going to be up against it. And that's what I fear too. I know you do too. It's this strange new world in the fall. There was an article that said, I hope you're resting right now because the fall's about to get crazy.
There is a keg of dynamite in this country. It's called the silent majority. He just has to find a way to set the keg on fire. He's got to, right? I mean, all it would take is a little fire from him.
Yeah.
And all of us who have been waiting for someone to push back would immediately respond to that.
Yes, and in a bigger way. He's done little bits and pieces, but in a much, much bigger way, and get rid of these lunatics that are running the asylum, because the Deborah Fauci, or the Fauci and the Deborah Birx are not doing us any favors. Thank you so much, Dr. Duke Pesta. Catch the Dr.
Thanks,
Duke
guys.
Show.
Yep.
You bet.
God bless.
Catch the Dr. Duke Show. We'll be right back on the Kate Daly Show. Don't go anywhere.